The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
Please stand for a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 1 through 15. These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he made with them at Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten bread, and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us to battle, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourner who is in your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, as he promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It is not with you alone that I am making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today before the Lord our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
All right, good morning. Add my welcome to Brian's. It's good to be with you today. My name's Aaron. I serve on the youth ministry team here at Lookout Mountain Presbyterian. So today, we are obviously going back to the book of Deuteronomy. The last time we were here was July 29th, so it's been a little while. I think I actually got to preach that sermon, thankfully, so I have a little history for us. But to catch us all up, the Israelites are at the Jordan River. The Jordan is the boundary into the Promised Land. They are about to enter the fight of their lives. This is a very scary place to be for them. Moses, they've traveled from Sinai. They had already come once to the Promised Land, and they said, "It's too much. We can't do it." And so they went back into the wilderness for 38 more years. So they're almost 80 years now in the wilderness. And over those next 38, all of the unbelieving generation has passed away. So a new generation comes back to the Promised Land, but this time when God brought them back, he walked them past the land of Esau, and he said, "See the land of Esau, but you're not taking that. Don't even set foot on it because I promised it to them." He walked them past Moab. He said, "Don't take it. I promised it to them." The land of Ammon, he says, "Go past there, but don't step in because I promised it to them." Do you see what he's doing? Like visual aid, like, I placed my people there, and I protect them, and now I'm bringing you to your land, and I'm going to establish you." And he's brought them to the land. Now, Moses, this is a whole new generation again, so he gives them the law again. Deuteronomy is second law. So he just repeated the whole law to a new generation, but Moses doesn't get to go. So right now, he is saying goodbye. Goodbye and go with God as you enter into the land. And so we're going to enter into this, chapter 29, and let me pray, then we'll look at it together. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would fill this place and all of our hearts and minds with your Spirit. Encourage our hearts with gospel truth. Show us your heart for your people, for us. I do pray that we would leave this morning knowing you better, loving the things you love, reflecting your love more clearly to those around us. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so Moses just listed all the law, and then chapter 27 and 28, he listed blessings and curses. And he said, if you live out this law, you will be blessed. If you live it out in every area of your life, you'll find blessing. But if you rebel against this law in the areas of your life, you will find curses. You will find destruction. Your life will begin to fall apart. So there's these blessings and these curses. And as he says that, he's basically summarizing those two chapters. Moses is saying, you must keep the covenant. But then he looks at chapter 29. And what he's really saying is here, but you can't. You must keep the covenant, but you can't. You cannot do it. You cannot keep this covenant. So throughout Scripture, God has chosen to relate to us through covenants. And that might be a little confusing at first. In fact, it wasn't really until the 16th century when they started to explore this theologically more, how God relates in covenant. And I'm going to quote a little of George Robertson here. He does some work on this. But the theologians began to study it, but they compared the covenant with a 16th century contract. And so when they first understood it, they're like, it's a contract where two people enter an agreement together and it's equally binding on both parties. So that means you and I go into an agreement and I'm saying, if you do your part, I'll do my part. Okay, now if you're looking at the Bible and you only read chapters 27 and 28, you could say, that makes sense. That looks how the arrangement is. You do your part, God's going to do his part. God helps those who help themselves. That's actually not a verse in the Bible. It gets quoted a lot. I only have to do my part if you do your part. So that's how they understood it. But listen to what George Robertson says. He says, chapter 29, throughout Scripture, whenever the Bible says, has a chapter 27, 28, it's always followed by a 29, almost always. And it says in chapter 29, Moses makes it very clear that it is God who makes and keeps covenant with his people. And most all of the covenants we find in the Bible describe the total commitment of one party to another, not a 50-50 arrangement. Yes, God always calls for a response to his grace. But it is clear that he is the one ultimately who enables such a response. So for example, in Genesis 15, when God covenants with Abraham, if you're familiar with the story, in the Old Testament, to make a covenant, they would take an animal, they would sacrifice it, they would cut it into pieces and throw those pieces on the ground. And then the two people who are making this covenant would walk between the pieces of this dead, slain animal together. And they're essentially saying this, if I break my promise to you, may this happen to me. Do that to me. When God covenants with Abraham, they sacrifice the animal, they put the pieces aside, and God puts Abraham to sleep. And then in a vision, God himself alone passes through the animal. He says, he's essentially saying this, if you break the promise, I die. If you break the promise, it falls on me. That's the covenant of God with his people. That's what he's saying. So what we see here in chapter 29 is that God initiates his covenant with them. You see, he says, make it to those present and not present. He includes everyone from the priest down to the guy chopping the wood. And it's all done in light of what God has already done. So they're invited to enter into the sworn covenant, the covenant that God has sworn to them. The one who rescued them from Egypt, who miraculously carried them through the wilderness, and now he's promising to establish them like he did Moab, Esau, Ammon. And so we respond to God in light of what he's already done, how he's already acted to save. And so chapter 29 is an invitation to enter the covenant promises, to enter into faithfulness as God's covenant people. It was an invitation to the Israelites, and I believe it's an invitation to you this morning. So would you, this morning as we look at this, accept and receive the invitation of God to enter in and be his covenant child, to be part of his covenant family where he says, if you sin, I die. If you fail, I receive the curse. That's the offer. It really is the greatest offer ever given. It's for you this morning. So let's look at what that means. Moses, in these 15 verses, says it involves two things. Faithfulness as God's covenant people involves remembering God's covenant faithfulness and acting on God's covenant promises. So God commands Moses to invite them into the covenant. And so Moses gathers all the people together and says, remember. Remember. He says, remember all the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, to all his land, the great trials that you saw, the signs and those great wonders. So one pastor said this. He said, if seeing is believing, then these Israelites that Moses is addressing ought to be the most faithful people on the face of the earth. They have witnessed the greatest collection and concentration of miracles, signs, and wonders of any period of history. Just take a second and think about it. They're in Egypt when the plagues happen. Nile's turned to blood. Sun goes dark. Locusts, boils. They cross the Red Sea. They turn around and watch the sea close on the Egyptian army. They're carried through the wilderness, led by a pillar of fire and cloud, one giving shade from the sun, one giving warmth in the cold. It said God sustained them such that their shoes didn't wear out. How many pairs of shoes have you gone through this year? 5 years? 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. When we had our first child, all these older parents were coming up like, it's the shoes. It's just so many shoes. No one tells you how many shoes. Save your pennies. Save your pennies. And this, their shoes did not wear out. They had food provided by God on the daily, water coming out of rocks. And then 2 million Israelites who were former slaves who had lived off bread and water and the occasional quail defeat the armies of Og and Sihon. It was miraculous. So he's calling them to remember, but not just the miracles. He says, remember the trials that you saw, the struggles that you endured. 40 years, wilderness, no bread, no wine. Remember miracles and struggles. Why? It's verse 6. So that you may know that I am the Lord your God. How is that revealed here? What is he revealing? Well, first, the reason they have to renew the covenant, the one that was made, remember, it was so dramatic at Mount Sinai. Thunder and earthquake and all these miracles. The reason they have to renew it is because they've already forgotten it. They've already been unfaithful to it. And what we see here is that no amount of crazy signs and wonders can change a heart from rebellion to belief. Don't you think that would be like the greatest evangelistic tool everywhere if they're just more signs and wonders? He says, signs and wonders don't change the human heart. We must have God give us eyes to see, ears that can hear, hearts that believe. It is only by God's sovereign grace. But what else is God revealing? He's really saying, look back at your time in the wilderness as a physical picture of a spiritual reality. They had no chance of providing for themselves. No chance. They survived every day with food from heaven, water from rocks, shade by day, heat by night, clothes and shoes that don't wear out. This would be the ultimate training ground to move a heart from self-dependence to trust in his grace. Every day, if a miracle didn't happen, you didn't survive. So there was not one person who traveled from one side of the wilderness who said, my clever resourcefulness has got me here. Not one person. It was God, and it was God alone. But think about it. When are we most prone to wander? When are we most prone to leave the covenant God who loves us? It's when we're facing hardship. Look what they're about to enter. When you and I are facing hardship, when what is before us feels like it is just way too much, there's no way you're going to make it through what you're going through. Did you say that this week at all? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this day. you know, one more email, one more phone call, one more hard situation in my family, I don't know if I can do it. It's when we're facing hardship, when we're so overwhelmed, it becomes blinding, it becomes crushing. And so it says, like here, we're seeing everything, but we can't see God. We're seeing all that is happening, but we can't see where God is. How do we remain faithful when we can't see God and all that's happening? Moses says we practice remembering, the power of considering. For us, we're in the new covenant, which we're going to celebrate this morning. And we, the power for us to consider, remember the gospel for us, Jesus on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You've left me in my greatest need. Where are you? I can't see you. He turned his face to the Father, and he did not see him. There was nothing harder that has ever been faced. And yet it was at that very moment, God was literally destroying sin and death for all time. No greater act of love has ever been done. Consider Jesus, Hebrews 12 says, so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. So remember God's work. Christ didn't see him on the cross, and yet he was for all time securing your place. But Paul, as he's considering these things, it causes him to write in Romans 8, if God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He concludes, for nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But I think another great way to practice remembering is for you to share your stories. So one of the greatest encouragements and ways to impact another person's faith is to share what God has done in your life, both through miracles and through struggles. So I've watched it in small groups for years as students share their story for the first time, what God's doing, the things they've gone through, the impact it has on them. We do it with our interns at the beginning of every summer. We do it with our Uganda missions team. And adults will come on that retreat and they'll hear kids share their story. And almost invariably, the adults would say, I wish I did this with my friends. We should get a group of guys together. We should get a group of women together. This was amazing. Like to see God, to hear another person articulate what God is doing in their life has such power on each other's faith. You begin to see his fingerprints in your own life. So parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, roommates, tell the story of what God's done. When you're really struggling, just listen to stories. What God's done, those who have gone before us. Practice remembering. Well, the other way our text calls us to faithfulness as God's covenant people is by acting on God's covenant promises, by calling us to act, to take action. So the first step is to look at God's past faithfulness. The second step is looking at the present realities of God's promise. So if you look at these verses, Moses is saying, God's covenant is not just for our forefathers. It's not old and antiquated, though it is old. It's not out of date. It's not something only in the past. He's saying this is a present reality for you now. So look at how many times the words you and your appear. It's 20 times in 5 verses. These promises are yours. They're for you. This relationship where the God of the universe commits all that he is, all that he has, all that he does to your salvation is offered to you today. It's yours. You are a thought in the mind of an infinite God. So 5 times in 5 verses, he says, today, 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 receive the covenant promise. Take action. Live in these promises of God. And look at how far-reaching and long-lasting this covenant is. Moses says this covenant's for everyone. So regardless of your background, regardless of your status or your job, of your age. In verses 10 and 11, he says it's for the kids. It's for the women, it's for the men, the officers, the leaders. It's for the Israelite, the foreigner, the person chopping the wood, the one drawing the water. It's for everyone. If you can hear my voice, this relationship is for you. It's offered to you. But he goes even further than that. It's also for those who aren't present, right? It's not just the one who's accidentally absent. It's not the teenager who just woke up at noon and stumbled out in camp. It's like, where is everybody today? You know, it's like, it's not just for that guy who's not here. It's for future generations. For those who come before, it's for those on Lookout Mountain on April 7th, 2024. It's for those on the live stream. This offer is for everyone. For those not born, the covenant's for us today. So this morning, we're actually invited to do exactly what Moses is talking about. We're going to come to the Lord's table together, which he's called the new covenant in my blood, done for you. He says, do this in remembrance. This is a people who forget, a people who must keep the covenant but can't. This table's for you. He says, take this simple bread and wine and remember what I have done on your behalf, what I've done to make you my covenant child, and then go out, act, live, strengthened in the power of the Spirit to live out these promises. So let me pray for us, and then we'll walk through confession and move towards the table. Father, as I think about how you have chosen to relate to us, I'm overwhelmed by your kindness and your mercy. You see our weakness, and so you serve us. You live the life we couldn't live. You die the death we couldn't die, all so you could call us your sons and daughters. There is no greater love than this. We pray that you would give us eyes to truly see, ears that can hear, hearts filled with faith, because it is only through your Spirit's power that we believe. We ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.